finally, our program concludes with Dr. Kelly McGonigal, mindfulness teacher and researcher at Stanford University, and creator of the Sounds True audio learning series, The Neuroscience of Change, where she introduces an alternative mode of the brain and the natural state as discussed by the world wisdom traditions.
So what's the solution to this fact that we're all born with brains that default to a state of mind that produces unnecessary stress and suffering? Well, the good news is neuroscientists have identified an alternative mode of the brain that has less to do with evaluating or escaping the present moment and more to do with directly experiencing the present moment. And this alternative mode actually sounds a lot more like what the wisdom traditions point to as the natural state of the mind. The reason that wisdom traditions ask us to direct our attention to the present moment experience is that these traditions teach that there is no experience that is not improved by fully experiencing it. Even the experiences that we think we don't want to have, like sadness or self-doubt or physical pain, these traditions teach us that we can never improve an experience by trying to escape it, and that every time we slide into this default state, we're only layering on extra suffering. And if we can excavate the direct experience out of everything we construct around it, the stories, the commentary, the wishes and fantasies for things to be different, that is our best opportunity to find something like that big mind or that natural peaceful mind that is wide enough and spacious enough to hold all experiences. When neuroscientists look into the brain, what they see in this alternative mode is increased activation in all of the regions of the brain that process what's happening in the present moment, but not the areas of the brain that provide commentary on it or that pull you into the past or into imagined futures. So you see increased activation in the areas of the brain that are processing what you see, what you hear, what you smell, also what you're feeling in your own body, including physical sensations, but also emotions. And you also see increased activation in an area right at the very front of the brain, close to behind your temple, that is very important for controlling attention. And it's this area of the brain that is allowing us to focus on what we are experiencing without getting lost in all of that other commentary and time travel. So this is really good news that there is this alternative mode that people can move into. But the interesting thing is that neuroscientists have only been able to identify it in people who have trained in meditation or mindfulness. Now, not necessarily 30 years of meditation training or living in a cave somewhere, but some basic training in mindfulness and concentration. And in fact, when they describe what the state of mind is like, as I did to you a moment ago, and ask non-meditators to do it, they have a very difficult time. And it appears to be impossible to get the brain to activate only those regions associated with attention and direct experience without automatically triggering all of these other regions of the brain that add on to it, that add the story and the criticism and the imaginations and the time travel. But with as little as 8 weeks of training in mindfulness, researchers have found that people can move into this alternative mode of being, which is called the experiencing self. There are a lot of different ways to train the mind in mindfulness, but the one thing they all have in common is that you choose a focus of attention, and then you notice every time the mind wanders, and you consciously bring the mind back to that point of attention. So you might choose the breath and notice each time the mind wanders from the breath and draw it back to that. Or you could choose to engage in mindful eating and set the intention to fully notice and observe every experiential aspect of eating and notice when the mind wanders and bring it back to the experience of eating. You could do it with sound and mindful listening and choosing to attend to a piece of music or to the sounds in your environment. And notice every time the mind wanders or starts to layer on commentary about what it is that you're hearing, and bring it back to the direct experience of just listening. Meditation doesn't just make it possible to have this experience. Meditation seems to train the brain to make it easier and easier to be in this state of mind, almost to create a new default. For example, people who have practiced meditation for a regular period of time, several years, their brains actually look different in structure. Areas of the brain that are important for this experiencing self, this experiencing mode, those areas of the brain are actually thicker, with more neurons and more connections between the neurons. And that includes regions of the brain that are processing what we see, what we hear, what we feel, and our attention to our emotions and what's happening in our body. You also see the same kind of change in the frontal region of the brain that is important for controlling your attention. And in general, when you take people who have had some meditation or mindfulness training, and you look at what's happening in their brains by default, you see less activity in the typical default network, that their brains are not spending as much time in this default mode that creates so much stress and suffering. They're spending more time in general in these experiencing systems, this alternative mode. And when they do slide into the default mode or self-referential processing, their brains recover more quickly. It appears that the brains of meditators are better able to notice when they're sliding into this state, to recognize it, and to pull their attention back to the present moment. And this type of training, this changing of the default state of the mind, can make a very big impact on your experience of suffering. Researchers have used this type of mindfulness training to help people with depression and with anxiety and recovering from trauma. For example, in one study, researchers took adults who were depressed and offered them an 8-week training in mindfulness, in which they learned formal meditation practices and also were taught how to be more mindful in everyday life, how to really taste and enjoy the food that they eat while they're eating, rather than eating while being hopelessly lost in other trains of thought, how to really listen to someone when you're having a conversation with them, instead of having a whole second conversation going on in your mind or thinking about the past or the future. And after only 8 weeks of a basic meditation practice and learning new ways of staying mindful in everyday life, the participants in the study were less depressed. But the researchers also decided to look at what was happening in their brains when they were experiencing sadness. One of the main forms of suffering in people who are depressed is feeling stuck in states of sadness, of grief, of hopelessness, or of self-doubt. And as we saw earlier, the more people who are depressed get pulled into those stories, the more they suffer. The way researchers looked at this was by having the participants watch film clips that were specifically chosen to not only create feelings of sadness, but to pull people into self-referential processing. For example, one of the film clips was of a young boy watching his father die. And these are the types of films that bring up a lot of emotion in us and also make us think about our own life, exactly what the researchers wanted. And what they found is that after the mindfulness training, the participants showed more activation in areas of the brain that are associated with processing emotions and feelings, but less activation in the areas of the brain that add the story or the commentary onto the experience. So they were engaging in less of this default network activation, but they were engaging more the experiential system. They were feeling the sadness without having this inner dialogue about it. And even more interesting, That change predicted the recovery from depression. The more a participant's brain shifted toward the experiencing mode as they experienced sadness, the more their depression improved over the course of the training. And this suggests that one of the most important ways that we can change our experience and become free from suffering is to change this inner dialogue. And we may not even need to change the experience itself that we're having, but to transform the way that we're relating to it. Similar work has been done with people with social anxiety disorder, offering the same type of brief mindfulness training to people who suffer from extreme shyness and anxiety in social situations. And they often typically suffer from a lot of self-doubt, a lot of self-critical thinking. And researchers found that after an 8-week training in mindfulness, not only were the symptoms of social anxiety relieved, but when the people with social anxiety were asked specifically to confront negative beliefs about themselves, when they were shown statements like, "There's something wrong with me and it will never change," or "People don't like me." When these participants were confronted with these negative beliefs staring at them on a screen, after the mindfulness training, there was increased activation in the brain that relates to information processing and visual processing. So they were really seeing these statements and allowing themselves to have a reaction to them. But at the same time, there was decreased activation in the default network and all of the stuff that would typically get triggered when a thought like this comes up. Typically, a thought like, "There's something wrong with me and it will never change," could really pull you into a downward spiral of negative thinking, of suffering, and of anxiety. And after the mindfulness training, participants were less likely to get pulled into that downward spiral of the default network.
This concludes The Science of Mindfulness: How Changing Your Brain Changes Your Life, a free gift from Sounds True. Thank you for listening. SoundsTrue.com. Many voices, one journey.